We're holding on Chof Gimel Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah, the last Mishnah was Rav Chanani ben Akasha Omer, that Hashem gave us many mitzvahs in order to Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zachas Es Yisrael. So now let's talk about the number of those mitzvahs. Dorosh Rav Simloi. Rav Simloi gave a Dorosha. Sheish Meis or Shloish Esri Mitzvahs Nemru Lo L'Moshe. Hashem told Moshe 613 mitzvahs. Shlosh meis v'shishim b'chomish lavin, 365 lavin communion in Moshe Chama, which is equal to the number of days in the solar year. So in other words, every day the Rivan says a person is being told, don't be over an Isser. Masayim v'aboy m'shmona eseh, and 248 eses, communion k'negedei varav shel adam, corresponding to the number of limbs in a person's body, with the idea being that every limb of his body is telling him to do a mitzvah. More famously, we know there's the idea that 365 corresponds to the number of gidim, the number of veins slash sinews slash nerves, whatever else in the body. That comes from the Zohar. Here the Gemara puts it in terms of number of days. The Zohar does also associate it with the number of days. Also, for example, it talks about that gidanosha corresponds to Tisha B'Av. Anyway, so that's how it breaks down. There's many Ramazim all over the place of the significance of these numbers. Only one of many is that the Zohar points out. You have a pasuk in Parashat Shmos when Hashem is, so to speak, introducing himself to Moshe. Zeh Shni la'olam v'zeh Zichri l'dor. The word Shni plus the name, plus the letters Yud Kei of Hashem's name equals 365, and Zichri plus the Vav K of Hashem's name equals 248, and so on and so forth. Anyway, Omer Hamnuna, Mikra. So there we have, when we say that a Hirbalahim Torah mitzvahs, that's how many mitzvahs we're talking about. Omer Hamnuna, Mikra. So Rav Hamnuna says, what's a pasuk that shows us where do we see that number of 613 hinted at in the Torah itself? So like this, because the pasuk says, Torah Tzivalanu Moshe, Morosha, Moshe commanded us the Torah as our inheritance. So we can also reinterpret that as Moshe commanded us the number of mitzvahs equal to the word Torah. Torah b'gematria shismeya b'chad srei avi. The word Torah itself adds up to 611. And then we have two more, because Anoichi v'lo yilacha, we piyak vorashmanum. And then the mitzvahs of Anoichi and lo yilacha, we heard directly from Hashem. We heard all the mitzvahs from Hashem, but we heard these most clearly from Hashem in a way that, like with the other ones, the Jewish people needed to ask more first. It says, for example, that Hashem said all the mitzvahs in one word, all the Aseres HaDibros in one word, and Aseres HaDibros include all the other mitzvahs, And then they had to ask Moshe to explain it to them, but these two, they heard clearly and then unequivocally from Hashem himself. So that makes 613 altogether. We know there's the idea of those two, that Rebbe brings in Tanya from Zohar, those two are the Kolos Kola Torah Kola, all the Esses come from Anochi, from Anochi Hashem Lekecha, all the Lois Esses come from Lo Yilecha. An interesting point in that regard is, we learned in Sanhedrin that if a Navi comes and tells us to temporarily override any mitzvah, then we do it, but not if he tells us to override a Zara, then we never listen to him. One interesting point relates to this point over here. The Malbim makes a point, it's based on earlier Mephoshim, a Navi himself, when he gets a Nevuah, he's not allowed to violate it. We learned in Sanhedrin, he can be chayed misim de shemayim for it, and even if somebody else comes and tells him, yeah, but I got a Nevuah that says different. Well, wait a minute, if there's supposed to be a Nevuah contradicting my first one, I should be getting it myself. So here, since we ourselves heard in a level of Nevuah from Hashem on Noichi and Lo Yilecha, then no later Navi has the ability to override that even temporarily. Okay. So now the Gemara brings a Simon Damesh Meksak. This is the abbreviation for various figures in Jewish history that the Gemara is going to go on to mention over here. You have David, you have that's the Dalet, Yeshaya is the Shin, Omois, Micha, etc. The Gemara is going to go through over here. So now the Gemara is going to explain that, so now Rabbi Simloi is going to go on to explain that even though we're saying we have 613 mitzvahs, there were later figures in Jewish history who summarized those in a smaller number of principles. So the first one is, Bad David v'ham midan al achas esrei. David went and made the Torah stand on 11 principles. Now, all the Mefarshim point out doesn't mean, obviously, we're not saying that David is reducing the Torah, Chas v'Shalom, and saying that 602 of the mitzvahs aren't important or anything like that. The Rivon explains that to start with, it means to begin with the Jewish people with tzaddikim, so they were able to bear the burden of many mitzvahs. In later generations, they weren't as much tzaddikim. If they try to keep all of them, then nobody is ever going to be able to be zoicha. So therefore, so David comes and summarizes it under 11 headings, basically saying if people keep these 11 mitzvahs, then they will still be zoicha. And then, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, as the generations went further and further down, then they needed to say a smaller and smaller number of principles by which a person will be zoicha l'chaya and l'abba. Various other Mephoroshim explain this idea sometimes the same point but in different osias. The Ran, for example, mentions in his Drushes, he says putting it similarly that to begin with Hashem gave we learned yesterday Hirbalam Torah Mitzvahs, because Hashem wanted that there should be many different ways in which a person can achieve perfection and come close to Hashem. And the idea was that a person should have many different things that he can do. But then in later generations, David and Yeshaya and so on and so forth, as we go through the generations, they realized this was backfiring. People were saying to themselves, well, I can't keep all the mitzvahs, so why should I bother keeping any? So therefore, David goes and summarizes and says, you know what, you keep these 11, then with that, you'll be zoicha l'chayim l'mabah, because through those, eventually, those will be a stepping stone to all of them. And then Yeshaya later comes and reduces it to a small number, and so on and so forth. The Ramah brings a point that it means like this: when a person keeps the whole Kol HaTorah Kula, then Hashem protects him from the Yetzer Hara. But in later generations, people were having a hard time with that. So now David is saying 11 principles, and he's saying he's arranging with Hashem that a person keeps these 11, then also Hashem will protect him from the Yetzer Hara even before he's at the point of being able to fulfill all the other ones. And then you have all these kinds of things and a variety of other explanations along similar lines, all of which boil down to, in other words, that we're saying they're re-summarizing, they're narrowing down and re-summarizing the Torah under basic headings that through those a person can get to, instead of having to concentrate on all the individual mitzvahs, and a person might slip up. Instead, he's summarizing it under categories. So the 11 we're going to talk about are all actually midas chasidus. When a person follows these 11, and then we're going to give for each one of them an example of some figure in Jewish history who fulfilled it in the most perfect possible way, a person does that, even if he himself is maybe not on the level of fulfilling this person as perfectly as them, but nevertheless, that still gives him greatness in Hashem's eyes and still accomplishes that he's fulfilling Kol HaTorah Kula. So, Dichtim, you have a pasuk, you have capital test of all the tilip goes as follows. Mizmul of David, Hashem, mi yogu ba'olacha, who will dwell in your tent, and Hashem's tent means olam haba, mi yishkan b'hayokad shecho, who will dwell in your holy mountain, which is also a metaphor for Gan Eden and olam haba. And he starts listing, holich tamim, one who walks in perfection, ufoyot tzedek, and who accomplishes righteousness, the doer works in righteousness, the dover emes bilvavay, and speaks truth in his heart, loy rogal al lashona, he does not have his tongue go walk around and speak lashon hara, loy also l're'ehu raha, he doesn't do evil against somebody else, the cherpa loy nosa al kroiva, he doesn't bear shame because of his relatives. Again, the Gemara is going to go through and explain an example of each one of these. Nivza be'en of Nimas, the degraded person is disgusting in his eyes. There's actually, when we get to that phrase in the Gemara, we'll see there are actually a few different ways that the Mephoroshim explain. The word Nivza and Nimas both mean degraded. Nivza means degraded. Nimas means disgusting. Doesn't mean the disgusting person is degraded in his eyes. Doesn't mean the other way around. The degraded person is disgusting in his eyes. implies, or does it mean something else altogether? We'll see as we go through. That's Yireh Hashem Yechaber, and he honors those who fear Hashem. Nishba Lahara, he swears to do something negative, Velo Yomir, and he doesn't change it. He doesn't go back on his word, even though it's detrimental to him. Kasper Lenosan Meneshach, he did not lend his money at interest. V'sheichad Al-Noki Lo-Lokach, and he did not take a bribe against an innocent person. So there's your 11 things, and the pasuk finishes off. Oise Eila. A person does these things, lo yimut lo olam, he will never stumble. So in other words, David is re-summarizing the Torah under these 11 headings. Now, again, you know, many of these, as we're going to go through, are midas chasidus. Some of them, on the face of it, seem to be basic black-letter halacha, like not taking ribis, but we'll see as we go through what it means. So let's go through and explain one by one where's an exemplar of them in Jewish history. Hoylech Tamim Zavraham. The first one, the one who walks in perfection, refers to Avraham. We don't mean again that a person has to be on the level of Avraham to be achieving this, but in other words, that should be the goal for which he's striving, is to be as much as possible like Avraham. He was the first Rosh Lamaminim, as the Medrash puts it, that he was the first of those who believed in Hashem. So a person has to work to have that same kind of mentality and that same kind of relationship with Hashem. Dichtiv, as Hashem tells him, is halach lefanai ve'yei samim, walk before me and be perfect, which means, in other words, that the person has complete emunah in Hashem and everything he's doing is purely l'shem shamayim without any ulterior motives. So that's the first of the 11. Poyol tzedek, when the next thing in the pasuk that he works in righteousness. So an example would be Kven Abba Chilkiyahu. The example would be Abba Chilkiyahu, where the Gemara in Tainus tells us a story over there. He was the grandson of Choni Amagel. One time the Chachamim came to him to daven for rain where there was a drought. He was working out in the field. He wouldn't even say Shalom Aleichem to them. And then the Gemara tells a whole bunch of odd things that he was doing while they were walking home over there, which afterwards he explained to them. And one thing is, in other words, so he wouldn't even say Shalom Aleichem to them because he didn't want to take even a moment off his work. It's his employer's time. And he didn't want to waste even a moment of that time. So that would be an example of someone who's poyel tzedek, who realizes, in other words, the importance of every moment and the importance of not wasting even a moment. Of somebody else's time, especially. Next, the Dover Emes Bilvavo, someone who speaks truth in his heart. So an example of that could go in Reb Safra. An example of that involves Reb Safra. The Rivon brings the story from the Sefer Shiltas, the Rabbi Choy Goin, that one Reb Safra had something to sell. In other places it says he had like a fabric store or something. A customer comes in to buy something, but meanwhile Reb Safra is in the middle of saying Krishma at the time. So the guy offers a price, and Reb Safra doesn't say anything because it's the middle of Krishma and he can't talk, and the guy starts offering that he thinks that Reb Safra is not replying because like it's too low insulting an offer. So he starts offering more and more. And then finally, when Reb Safra finishes Krishma, he says, actually, I already decided in my mind that I was willing to sell it to you at the original price you mentioned, and the only reason I couldn't answer till now was Krishma. So in other words, V'dover Emes Bilvava, he decided in his heart what he's going to sell it for, and that remained for him the Emes, and he's not going to go back on that, even though if he'd said something, then already you could talk about that he has to hold that to a certain extent. He has to hold by that, but he's only thinking it. He's certainly not obligated at all to hold by that. He could have instead taken the guy's higher offer, but that's the Vidur Emes Bilvavo. Next, Lo Rogel Al Lashono. The pasuk continues, he does not say, in other words, the idea is, in other words, Marashah says, you know, you have the idea, even by Hekdesh, you have a Mirosel Gavoya. When you say something to Hashem, that you're going to give something for Hekdesh, then it's considered like giving it over. And with Hekdesh, you have the concept that even you think about it, you make a mental decision to do something, then already it's binding when it comes to Hekdesh, and Tzedakah similarly. But here, Reb Safra is doing that even with Vos of Adam as well. Next, Lo Rogel Al Lashone, when it says he didn't say Lashon Hara, Zed Yaakov Avinu. So that refers to Yaakov Avinu, as we see the example, Dichtiv, where he says, when Rivka is trying to convince him to go and get the brachas, he says, Ulai Yumosheni Ovi, my father might feel my skin, and then in his eyes I'm going to be like a cheater, because I'm smooth skin and Esav is hairy. So in other words, we see, That we see now. So how does that show? Now, now, uh, now, so, so, uh, So the point is that he's the point is that he doesn't. So the Rivan. Now, where do we see from that that Lord Rogal al Lashon? Right. So the Rivan explains that he didn't want to lie. We see that he was ready to go in there and say openly, and if his father feels him, so who are you? Yes, I'm Yaakov. But Rivka convinces him and says, don't worry, you're not going to, he say, I'm going to get a klala from it. They say, I like klala. And she says, oh, I kill a lost chavni. Don't worry, I was told in Nevuah that you're not going to be cursed. But we see, in other words, says the Rivan, we see that Yaakov did not want to lie. Still, the explanation, the proof of it from the pasuk is really not as clear, and Mefoshim have a number of different angles about it. Marsha explains that we see that Yaakov had no midah of Lashon Hara. Otherwise, what happens if Yitzchak says, so who are you? I'm Yaakov. Well, you're Yaakov. What are you doing? You're trying to get the brachas. Esav's supposed to be getting them. Well, don't you realize, Tati, that Esav is an out and out Russia? So Yaakov wants to avoid that whole thing. So Lloyd Rogal, he doesn't accustom himself to Lashon Hara. So as opposed to, Marsha points out, you have the opposite expression by Rishonim, Limdu Lashonim Daber Sheker, where they teach their tongue to say a lie, but Yaakov does not teach his tongue to do that. He wants to avoid lying in the ultimate possible way. And therefore so now he's saying, if my father touches me, then that's going to lead me to having to say Lashon Hara about my brother, and I don't want to do that. Then there's different other explanations. The Aruch HaNer explains another point of it is that Yaakov is such a truthful person, and we know Yaakov embodies Midas Emes, that therefore, like, he's not even used to lying, so like he realizes if I speak, as soon as I start speaking over there, then my father is right away going to realize that I'm not telling the truth, because the way I speak is immediately going to give away the game that I can't lie convincingly, basically. So we see that he had spent that all this time. He had trained himself to be a truthful and honest person, and not to even have a trace of lying, to the extent where now he's saying that my father will immediately realize that I'm lying. And then they bring a vort for the Maharaj Chayas brings over here a vort from the Vilna Gaon. He's saying Ulai Yumusheni Avi. The word Ulai is actually there's a word in Lashon Kodesh that means perhaps, but actually he said the Vilna Gaon says that Ulai is the kind of thing I wish it would happen. So like he's saying, I wish that he'll touch me, and I'll have to tell him the truth, and I'll tell him the truth that I'm Yaakov, because I don't want to have to be doing this in this dishonest way of pretending to be Esav. So in any case, according to any of these explanations, then we see, in other words, that Yaakov is this paragon of honesty and Lo Rogal al Lashonei. Next, also Lo Ehu Ra, when the pasuk continues about the 11 milas that David mentioned, he didn't do bad to somebody else. That means Shelo Yora L'Umnus Chaveri. He didn't go into somebody else's livelihood, for example, opening a competing store nearby. There are cases where a person is allowed to do that, la'alocha, but nevertheless we're saying a person doesn't do that. Next, the Cherpolo Nosar Krover, when it says he didn't bear any embarrassment because of his relatives, that means Zamakarevas Krover, that means that he brings his relatives close, that his relative is in a bad situation, and he doesn't just say, well, I don't know who he is, and pretend like you don't know him. Instead he goes and helps him out in every way possible, whether the person is doing badly Begashmius or Beruchnius or both, so he works with him rather than just writing him off. Next, Nivzah says, therefore, v'cherpah le'nosa, he doesn't bear it himself, and he doesn't allow the korah to bear that cherpah either. He works with him to fix it up. And since, in one sense, all of us Jews are relatives, so it means, in other words, you know, sometimes you have people who see a yid who's not yet shrem or toto mitzvahs, and they think to themselves, you know, well, who needs him? You know, what good is he going to do? But we're saying that the cherpah le'nosa al-kroy, the kind of person, doesn't do that, and he realizes as a fellow yid, we have to help in every way we can. Next, Nivza Be'en of Nimos. The pasuk continues the Nivza Be'en of Nimos. Now on the pasuk over there, Rashi and a number of the Mefoshim explain that it means, a number of the Mefoshim there on the pasuk explain that it means that in his own eyes he's degraded, meaning as much as this person does Torah and Mitzvahs and Hasidus and so forth, he still thinks of himself, I have so much more to go compared to what I should be, I'm degraded. But Rashi over there on the pasuk explains that it means the person who is, the person who is Nivzer, who acts in a degrading way, Nimos, is disgusting in his eyes. Here the Rivan says the other way around. It means Nimos, the one who's disgusting in Hashem's eyes, is Nivzer, is degraded in the eyes of such a person. So that means Zechizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, Zechizkiyahu Melech. So this refers to the example of Chizkiyahu Shegirer Atzmos Aver B'mita Shochavalim. As we learned in Sanhedrin, he dragged his father's body on a bed of ropes. When Ochaz, his father, who was a notorious Rasha, as we learned in Sanhedrin, passed away, then Chizkiyahu did not make a nice, honorable state funeral for him. Instead, he had him dragged around the city on a bed of ropes to be a kapara for him. But this way also it would demonstrate to everybody that this is how that the person dies as a Rasha and didn't do tshuva. This is what you do in order that nobody should learn from him, and so you should have a kapara. We learned in Sanhedrin and even to the extent that that's one reason why Ochaz didn't lose his chelik in an Abba. But we see, in other words, that Chizkiyahu is not concerned about his own covered or the covered of his father or anything like that. In fact, in that Gemara and Sanhedrin, Rashi explains the word Nivza Ve'en of Nimas also means that he's not worried about his own covered and is willing to forego his own covered and look degrading and disgusting in other people's eyes. People would say how what son treats his father that way, but he's doing that because for the honor of Hashem. Okay. Next. The pasuk from Tillim continues. He honors those who he honors those who fear Hashem. Yehoshafat Melech Yehuda. So an example of that would be Yehoshafat Melech Yehuda. When he would see a Tamid Chacham, he would stand up and get off his throne, and hug and kiss the Tamid Chacham, and call him titles, Ovi, Rebbe, Rebbe, Mori, and call them titles of honor. The Rambam points out, by the way, in Hilchos Malachim, that Yehoshafat wouldn't do that in public, because after all, king is not allowed to be moichel on his covenant. In public, we're talking about where he would do this privately. The word Ovi is in parenthesis over here, because you find, for example, Elisha calls Eliyahu that, you find there's a Melech Yisrael calls Elisha that, but it's not necessarily the normal title that you would use for a Talmud Chacham, but nevertheless, Mephoshim talk about, first of all, where do we see particularly that Yehoshafat does this? Marshal refers to a story in Malachim where Yehoshafat takes together with him the king of Yehuda and the king of Edom, and they go to find the Navi and talk to him in a very respectful way. And the reason why Ovi, Rebbe, Rebbe, is because who can a king be moichel on his covered for? It's taka only for his father or his Rebbe or whatever. Aruch HaNer also points out there's a few different things that a Rebbe accomplishes for a person. That he's like his father who brings him into Chaya El Mazer. He's a Rebbe who brings him to Chaya El Mabba. And he's Mori, and he's saying that therefore that, and then murder Rabbah Kamura Shemayim, and then the fear of him is like the fear of Hashem, and therefore I'm able to honor him, and it's not considered violating the covenant of a Melech. Okay, so anyway, so that's the Yira Hashem Yechabed. That's a person who treats Tamid Chachamim like that and realizes how much you have to respect and love them. Next, Nishba Lahorov Lo Yomer. The Pasuk said he swore something negative about himself and he won't go back on it. That means Kirab Yechanan. So an example of that would be what Rabbi Yechanan did. There were times when the family of the Nesiim in Eretz, the household of the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, would want to invite Rabbi Yochanan for a Suda by them, and he didn't want to, for whatever reason, so he would say that right now I can't because I'm fasting. Now, he wasn't truly fasting, but nevertheless, once a year, he would swear that I'm going to be in a tainus until I come home, and he would continue to keep it, even though he's not technically obligated to keep that shvua. But it's called Shavuos Onsin. But nevertheless, and also because a fast really has to begin and it has to go until Shkia. So it's not truly a fast. But nevertheless, he would still hold to his word. You have examples of that in later Jewish history as well. I've read in a couple of places the story about Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. He was a pretty hardcore Litvak, and we know Litvaks do eat gebrochs on Pesach. It's mostly Hasidim who don't. But when he was a bacher, they tell that they had the system of Essen tag in the yeshiva that he was going to. They'd send him to different balabatim every day to eat. There was one particular balabas during Pesach. He was concerned about the guy's kashrus. He doesn't want to openly say, I can't eat here because your kashrus is below par. But he pretends, in other words, he says, I don't eat gebrochs, and therefore I'm not going to be able to eat with you. And then, having said that, he kept that minhag for the rest of his life. So also an Isha Emes, also a person like that, who nishba lahorav lo yomer. Next, Canada, it wasn't a Shavua technically, but fine, whatever. Kasper le'nosam neshech, the last two that David says, he doesn't lend his money at ribis. That means afilu beribis over kachavim. That means even when we're talking about charging interest to a goy. Now you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to just lend at interest to a goy. Nevertheless, this person is holding himself back even from that. Interestingly, because that way, if he does to a goy, eventually he may come to do it with a yid as well. Interestingly, the Rambam writes that it's a mitzvah saseh to lend a goy at ribis, and the Chachamim restricted it in order that you don't fraternize with the goyim too much. But here the Gemara seems to be saying that's a good thing to avoid that. So one thing is, in other words, the Rambam is saying, if you're going to lend a goy, then the mitzvah is to lend him at ribis and not just to give him a free loan. But there's no mitzvah to lend him in the first place. So he was saying, better don't lend him in the first place, and then that way you're never dealing with receiving ribis, which is a very attractive thing, and then that can lead a person to end up taking it from a yid as well. And the last one was Sheikhad al Noki Lalokach, an example of what does it mean he doesn't take a bribe against an innocent. Now, to actually take bribes would be a blatant issue in the Torah. So what it means is, Kegon Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi. You have the example of Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi, story in Ksubas, where his oris, his sharecropper, would bring him every Friday, would bring a basket of fruit, look up at Shabbos. One time, the guy brings it on Thursday, and he explains, because I have a din Torah, and I figured I may as well bring it at the same time, but he's also implying with that he's hoping that Rabbi Shmuel will take the case and then judge him favorably because of the fruit, and Rabbi Shmuel refuses the fruit and refuses to judge him, and the Gemara tells the whole story over there. And he says afterwards, after all, it was my fruit, and I had every right to accept it, but so it was a midas chassidus, he didn't. David finishes off, so now, the Pasuk says, Oysa Eila lo yumet lo'olam. So now the Pasuk says, a person who does these things will never stumble. So in other words, David is summarizing, these are the 11 ways in which a person will achieve his shleimus and his perfection and chayo el maba and all of that. The Gemara says, "Shahoyer Rav Gamliel Magil a Mikra Hazeh." When Rav Gamliel would reach that pasuk, the end of that capital, Haya Boicha, he would cry. Omar, he says, does that imply Manda Ovid Lo Lekulu Hud Lo Yimut? So the pasuk seems to be implying that only if a person does all of these things, all of these 11 tremendous midas, then he's not going to fall and stumble. Hachodaminayo, but it sounds like if he does only one of them or some of them Yimut, then he's going to stumble, then he's not protected by Hashem. So what does that mean? So they answered Rav Gamliel, no, miksiv oisat kol eila. No, because the pasuk doesn't say if he does all of them. Oisat eila, see, the pasuk says if he does these, afilu b'chodem inayu, even a person works on perfecting himself in one of them, then that's enough to make that lo yimut, that Hashem will protect him and that he won't stumble. So, in other words, Marsha points out, the word kol could mean all, it could also mean any of them. So therefore, they're telling Rav Gamliel, even if it said Oysa kol Eila, but in any case it says Oysa Eila, so it doesn't mean that he does all of them, it means he does these, among these things. And they say, De'ilai Temahochi, after all, if you're not going to say it like that, Sid Krach Rina, consider a posik that it says about the Arayas, Alti Tamu b'chol Eila, do not become Tame with all of these. Hosam nami anegeya b'chol eila hu demetame b'chodem inayu loy. You're going to tell me only if a person is touching or getting involved with all of the arayas, is he going to be chayav kore, and is he going to become tome and chayav kores, and if he does only one, then not? Obviously not. Elalav ba'achas mikol eila. It means, when it says kol eila, means any one of these. Hochanami ba'achas mikol eila, the same way here. And the positive side means that the person is fulfilling into perfection one of these things, so then as you said, David is promising him lo yimut lo ilam. So again, Marshall talks about, in other words, that it's true in most places where it says kol, it means all of them. It's true by Arias, kol Eila doesn't mean all of them, because that would be impossible. It means any of them, but generally the word kol means all. But here, by this capital test of Tillim that we just quoted in Darshan, it doesn't even say the word kol at all. So certainly it doesn't mean that a person has to do all of them in order. A person is working on them. If a person is working on them, then Hashem will help him and protect him, and make it possible for him to go higher and higher. You have two people going on a ladder, and one of them is going up and one of them is going down. The one who's going up is the one in the better situation. So now that was David. Now time passes, and the Jewish people are going are getting lower in level. So even David's 11 principles is too much for them. So Bo Yeshayahu v'Amidin al Sheish. Yeshayah went and then re-summarized the Torah under six headings, which these things include much of the Torah in them, but like this. In other words, again, it's a person is going to have a hard time focusing on all 11, and he may give up and so on and so forth. So therefore, now he's telling us instead that you have six major ones that a person needs to focus on. Dichtiv, as Yeshaya says, Holach Tzedakus, one who walks in righteousness, the Dover Meshorim, and speaks straight and honest, Moyes Vezetza Mashakus, he rejects any gain from any dishonest gain. No yokap of mitzmoich mashaychad. He shakes his hand free of upholding or supporting any kind of shaychad, any kind of bribe. Oitim ozne mishmoya damim. He closes his ears that he shouldn't hear things that are going to cause bloodshed, things of dvar gnai, as betzem hashakas. In other words, well, the Gemara is going to give examples from each one of these, but okay. So the oitim ozne mishmaya damim, that the Rivan explains damim meloshin damim meloshin being quiet. So he makes sure not to hear something derogatory and have to be silent about it. Instead, he makes sure that he won't be silent, rather, as the Gemara is going to explain, when he hears something derogatory that he should be speaking up on. And he closes his eyes to not see something evil. So let's go through these six and explain what each of them means. Hoylach Tzedakah is Avraham Avinu, the one who walks in Tzedakah. This refers to Avraham Avinu. Hashem says that I appreciate Avraham because I know that he's going to command his descendants after him, and they'll do Tzedakah or Mishpat. So he's not just acting as a tzaddik himself. He's teaching his children and all the members of his household to be that kind of person as well, to be a Baal Tzedakah and a Baal Chesed and obey Hashem. So therefore, that's a very great Maila. Marshall refers to, by the way, over here, that we learned at the end of Sanhedrin, we learned all about the corrupt things they did in Sodom, where they had the supposed justice system, which really was calculated in order to take advantage of the weak and the poor and so forth. And now in that connection, Hashem is saying, I know Avraham is the polar opposite of that, which is why I'm going to tell him about the destruction of Sodom. So we see that that he's growing the manashe tzavas bonaves beta, that they should do nothing like the people of Sodom, v'shamru derech Hashem, and follow the way of Hashem and be machnis ochim very generously and do tzedakah u'mishpat. So therefore, he's the polar opposite of the people of Sodom. So that's the first one of Yeshaya's six things. The Dover Meshorim, when it says someone who speaks straightly, that refers to somebody who does not anger or embarrass somebody else in public. So exactly that. In other words, like he doesn't embarrass somebody in public, which would be a pretty serious thing. Malbin Pnei Chaveira Barabim. So here a person is careful not to do that. Lora Chaner points out, I mean, you know, you're in private also, are you allowed to embarrass the person? So he says that no, what it actually means is, like this, you have, we're saying that you have to teach other people to do tzedakah or mishpat, but sometimes that also means, so what about then, but sometimes that means you do need to tell a person Musar, so you would think you should tell it to him in public, and that way other people will learn from it. So no, you're saying that he does it in private in order not to embarrass the person. Next, Moyes Vezetza Mashakos, when the pasuk continues, he rejects any ill-gotten gains, anything that he could gain that would be dishonest. Because going to Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, the example of that would be a story with Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, another story in Ksubas over there, right next to the story of Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi, where he was a Kohen one time. Somebody brings him Reishis HaGeiz, which is one of the Matnas Kohuna, and Rabbi Shmuel says, what, there wasn't any other Kohen you could have given it to, and then the guy explains, again, that I have a Din Torah. And even though Rabbi Shmuel could have accepted it because he himself is a Kohen, but he refused it and refused to judge the guy's Torah as well. So now, in other words, there's mashakos in a certain sense. Rabbi Shmuel took the view, if I take this Reishis HaGeiz, where it could have been given to a different Kohen, then it could be considered like I'm unjustly depriving another Kohen of it. So therefore, he doesn't want to do that. So that's included in this expression, the moyus with that's a that he doesn't want to take anything that anything where there's even a trace of something wrong with it, where here this guy could have given the rachis a gaze to a kohen. Meaning, in other words, and the Marsha and the Aruch HaNer talk about over here, you know, here also we have in the story of Ishmael Ben Yosi with the fruit that we said before, in both cases there was also a trace of Sheikhad, so why over here are we referring to the Ishmael Ben Elisha specifically about the Reshus HaGez, and here we're referring to him about that he doesn't want to take from another Kohen, and over there we're saying the issue is Sheikhad. So he says because of the differences, Aruch HaNer explains actually the differences. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, that fellow was his sharecropper. He knows him, so therefore it can be considered of a certain degree of sheikhad. Rabbi Shmuel Ben Elisha never knew this guy before, and he didn't even know that he's coming for a din terter. So he would have had every right to take that. He would have had every right to take that rishus hagez. But Rabbi Shmuel Ben Elisha is saying the fact is there were other kohenim that you passed by on the way over here, and you could have given it to them, and therefore I don't want to deprive them, and I don't want to take it. Next, Noya Kap of the Tmoich Vashoichad, he says, Yeshaya says, the person shakes his hands free of grasping onto any Shoichad. So if you go in Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, there you have the story of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi that we said before, where Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi washed his hands of the whole thing and didn't even want to take the fruit, even though he would have been perfectly allowed to because it comes from his own orchard. Oita, because there was a trace of Shoichad in it, because the guy's saying, I have a din Torah. Next, Oitim Oznim Shmaya Domim, when it says he closes up his ears not to hear blood. So again, the Gemara is davening Domim Meloshim Domim being silent. Meaning the Loshama Bezilusted, it's Surahum and Abonan, Beshosik. It never happens that he hears somebody mocking or making fun of a young Talmud Chacham and be quiet. If he hears somebody speaking negatively against a Talmud Chacham, he's not quiet, he immediately speaks up and protests. To go in Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, as we have the example of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon in Bava Metzia, where after he had passed away, his body was being kept in the attic for many years for reasons that the Gemara tells us there in Bava Metzia, and then his body was staying intact. One time his wife sees a worm coming out of his ear, and she's concerned, and then that night she has a dream where he comes to her and tells her, because one time I heard people making fun of a Talmud Chacham, and then in protest, so for that now, I heard it with my ear, and I didn't say anything, so therefore now a worm came out of my ear. But ordinarily he would, so that's the example that Yeshaya is saying, that a person should be like that. If he hears somebody speaking against the Talmud Chacham, he immediately protests that you can't do that. So, in other words, we see with Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, he was always so careful with that. So now, therefore, that one time where he slipped up and the Eibishter made the worm come. And the last one, the Oitzim Einav Mira'os V'Ra, when the Pasuk says he closes his eyes to not see evil, that means Kidur Rabchir Ba'aba. That means the way Rabchir Ba'aba explained it, Da'am Rabchir Ba'aba, that means Zesh Einam Estakal B'Noshim V'Shar Sha'im Desal HaKvisa. He doesn't look at women when they're doing laundry. Back then, they would do laundry by rivers or ponds or things like that. The women would be hitching up their skirts and their legs, parts of their legs were visible. So here, the person doesn't look at that. The Gemara explains, actually, in Bava Basra about that. You can have, as a person, if the person has another way to go and not pass by the river to begin with, then he has no business going there in the first place. We're talking about where he has no other way to go. He has to go that way, but nevertheless, he closes or averts his eyes to not see something that he shouldn't. So that's the Otsumena Berna Osbera. And Yeshaya continues, Uchtiv, he continues in the next pasuk, Hu Meroimim Yishkan V'Gan, such a person will dwell in the heights, meaning the heights of Gan Eden, and he's going to have a very great milah. So that's the six that Yeshaya re-summarized it as. Then the Gemara continues, Bom Micha Behan Midan Al Sholish. Next, Micha came, and Micha was a younger contemporary of Yeshaya. So Yeshaya himself started saying Nevuah during the time of King Uzziyahu, his first Nevuah was on the day that Uzziyahu tried to bring the Tertus and got Tzaras, Bishnas Mosa Melech Uzziyahu, and then Micha later on began saying Nevuah during the time of the next King Yosam. So Micha came along, then Midan Ashtolish, and he summarized the Torah under three headings, because again, the level of the Jewish people was dropping so fast that even Yeshaya's six principles were too much for them. So he reestablished it on the basis of three things. Dichtiv, as he says in his nevuah, higid l'cha adam matoiv. People are telling you what's good. In other words, there are various people who come up with various. Actually, Rashi explains over there on the pasuk that means that Hashem. It means adam is the vocative. It means you, man. Hashem has told you what is good. Umar Hashem derish mimcha, and Hashem is telling you what He demands of you. Ki imasois mishpat, Hashem wants you to do justice. The avas chesed, and to love chesed. The afnei aleches imalekecha, and to go in a sneistic way with Hashem. So what does that mean? Asois mishpat zehadin. The words asois mishpat means following the din, means following the straight way of din, and making sure that a person is not doing something against halacha or dishonest or anything like that. Avas chesed zegmilas chasadim, to love chesed refers to doing gmilas chasadim. Vatznei aleches, and when it says vatznei aleches, that means zehetzos ames vachnosas kala. That means when it involves a levaya and when it involves a wedding. So both of those are associated with going in a pasuk. You have the expression the Rivon points out, tov leleches el beis evil mi leches el beis mishta. So vatznei aleches then ties in with that pasuk. So a person has to do those things in a sneistic way, which there's a number of meanings in that. This Gemara is also brought in Sukkah. Rashi brings over there two explanations. It means that a person should be keeping it within limits. The mourning by a Beis HaEvel and the rejoicing by a wedding should be within limits and not just completely unrestrained. And then the second explanation Rashi brings over there, which comes from Shul to Sidav HaChoy Goyen, which means that a person, for example, is helping out with that and spending money and financing and whatever. He does it in a sneistic way and doesn't draw too much attention to it. Sometimes there is a concept that Rashba brings in his Truvas, mitzvah lefarisim oisim mitzvah. Sometimes it is a mitzvah to publicize people who do mitzvahs, so other people will learn to follow him, but you don't always have to do that. And sometimes, in other words, a person does a mitzvah in private and not looking for credit for it, and that's not Hatznei Alechasim Alekecha. So those three things, Micha is saying, a person follows those three principles, then with that he'll be fulfilling Kol HaTorah Kula. And the Gemara continues. Now you consider why we're mentioning Davka, a funeral and a wedding. Let's make a Kavachomer. Those kinds of things are not usually done in Betzina. Whether we mean in terms of the amount of rejoicing or the amount of mourning is usually very, very great, or whether we mean in terms of drawing attention to it and doing it with a lot of publicity, these kinds of things are normally done with that, or are done like that. Omra Tordabat, Snei Alechas, still the Torah is telling you to do them in a sneistic and private way. Dvarim Shadakan Lasos in Mitzina. Well, then how much more so when it comes to other mitzvahs that are usually done Mitzina? For example, giving tzedakah, Allah has kama lakama, how much more so that a person should be doing it in a way where only he and Hashem know about it, and he doesn't have to go showing off in front of everybody in order to get credit for it from Boss of Adam. That was Micha. Now, Yeshaya lived a long life. The Medrash actually says that Yeshaya lived to be 120 years old, like Moshe Rabbeinu. So he was still alive and still saying Nevuah after the time when Micha had said that Nevuah about Asos Mishpat, Ba'avas Chesed, Yeshaya was still alive, and in the later times of Yeshaya, he needed to re-summarize it again. But Chosev Yeshayahu Ve'amidin Ashtayim, Yeshayahu now had to go back and re-summarize the Torah under two headings. Now, that's how low people have gotten. And we have to realize, you know, when we're talking about low, that's compared to how they were originally, they're still far above our level. Anyway, Shanema, Yeshaya says in another one of his nevuahs, Koyam Hashem Shimrum Mishpat Vasu Tzedakah, guard Mishpat and do Tzedakah. So we see that he's summarizing the whole Torah under the two headings of Mishpat and Tzedakah. And Marsha points out, Shimru means guard it. In other words, that Kikroi Shuasi Lava in Olam Hazeh. You don't usually have a scar for mitzvahs, but be aware, it's coming very soon. A person is created to do Hashem's mitzvahs, and the purpose of it is tachlis. The tachlis of it is Olam Haba. So therefore, so be doing mitzvahs, be doing mishpat and tzedakah, and with that, you'll be zoicha to chayon Haba. Then, but almost v'hamidin al achas. Now, almost came and we summarized the whole Torah under one principle. Almost was also a contemporary of Micha and Yeshaya. Shenema, as he says, Koyam Hashem leveis Yisrael. Hashem says to the Jewish people, "Do shuni, seek me, with you, and you will live." So we see, in other words, that he's summarizing the whole Torah under the concept of seeking Hashem. But Maskus or Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says that's not summarizing the whole Torah in one principle. Emadir shoni b'chol Torah kula. That may mean seek Hashem by doing all the mitzvahs. That no, maybe he's saying v'chiyu. You have to seek every possible way to come close to Hashem, which is all 613 mitzvahs. Ela no b'chavakuk v'amidin alachas. The right way to say it is that chavakuk, generation or two after Yeshaya, goes and re-summarizes the whole Torah on one principle. Shenema b'tzadik v'emunasa yichya. That Tzaddik lives with his amunah in Hashem. So he believes in Hashem. He believes in Hashem and accepts on him that Hashem gave me mitzvahs and I'm going to fulfill them in every way that I can. So with that one thing that he's zoicha l'chayim. So the Ritva explains that's what it means, the Tzaddik lemon also yichya, that his amunah motivates him to do everything that Hashem tells him to do. The Me'iri explains that it means that he's doing everything that he's kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim. And then Maharsha explains that basically, in other words, it means that he's accepting Hashem is one. Anochi Hashem alekecha. So therefore, once he's doing that, then he realizes that I have to fulfill everything that Hashem told me to do. So that's re-summarizing the whole Torah as that one principle. The Gemara continues. So the point of this, one thing we get out of this whole long drasha is basically that the later Nevi'im, in a certain sense, you could say overrode what Moshe said. Not really overrode, as we explained before, but in other words, like they here Moshe had told us 613 mitzvahs, and now the Nevi'im are saying 11, 6, 3, etc. So now, in a similar vein, the Gemara brings a similar drasha where Moshe says certain things, and later Nevi'im reinterpret them. Amar of Yosef of Chanina, Arba Gzeres Goza Moshe Rabbeinu Al Yisrael. Moshe said four Gzeres, Gzeres doesn't have to be harsh things necessarily, but four statements about the future of the Jewish people. Boa, Bar Nevi'im, Ubitlum, and four later Nevi'im came and were Mevatel them. What does that mean? How do later Nevi'im have the ability to be Mevatel what Moshe is saying? It means, in other words, like they're reinterpreting it in a more positive sense, or they're saying that they're saying. That they're saying Moshe is talking mitzad midas adin, but Hashem is going to judge us mitzad midas achesed, and so forth, and there's various points that Mephoshim make, what this means exactly, that they're overriding, so to speak, Moshe is saying certain things are going to happen only with a t'nai, and they're saying no, it doesn't require the t'nai, Hashem is going to act for us with midas achesed. Moshe omer vayishkin Yisrael betach badar ein Yaakov. Moshe says that the Jewish people are going to dwell securely alone, ein Yaakov, ein, like the word ke'ein in Gemara Loshen, meaning when they're like Yaakov. So in other words, in effect, Moshe is saying that only if the Jewish people are on the level of Yaakov, only then are they going to have safety and security. But almost a bitla, almost in a later generation, went and was mevatel that, and says to Shenemar, Chadol, no, he says to Hashem, please hold back, mi yokum Yaakov, who can stand up and be like Yaakov? So in other words, very few people, he continues in the pasuk, it's a very small number of people who can reach that level. So don't make it that the Jewish people will be safe and secure only if they're on the level of Yaakov. Therefore, and the pasuk continues, Nicham Hashem al Zois, almost continues in his next pasuk, Hashem, so to speak, regretted that for Gomer, and he says it won't be. So in other words, Hashem is saying the Jewish people can have safety and security even if they're not on the level of Yaakov Avinu. So again, it means, in other words, that one point about it is that Moshe is talking mitzad midas adin, and almost is asking Hashem to judge and look at the Jewish people mitzad midas arachmim. It means, in other words, that. Another point about it, the Aruch HaNer makes a point that, you know, that Moshe's words themselves could be understood in a few different ways, and instead you could have, it could be judged in the strictest way, meaning only if a person is on the level of Yaakov. So when it says, Ba'omus Abitla, means, in other words, basically he reinterpreted Moshe to be saying that here, you can say, when Moshe is saying they have to be like Yaakov, it just means, in other words, even, it means, in other words, if Yaakov gave the Jewish people a bracha, that the Hoya Elakimi Machem, that and Hashem will be with you even in Golos, Veheshaveschem, and Hashem will return you to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, in other words, we mean that, we can reinterpret Moshe's bracha to begin with to mean that you'll have the bracha like Yaakov said, that even when you're in Golos and even when you're not where you're supposed to be, then Hashem will still protect you. And almost the same, that is the correct interpretation of what Moshe said, not that it means that you have to be like Yaakov, and similarly with the other ones. Moshe Omo Vagoyim Ahim Loisagia. Moshe had said in the Teichacha, you won't have any rest in Golos among the Goyim. Bar Yumia, and Yumia comes and says, no, the Omar, he says, Holech Lav Yer Yisrael, and the Pasuk continues, Am Sridei, the Pasuk mentions over there, Am Sridei Chorev, the nation that are the remnant from the sword, the remnant of Jewish people, who are left after all everything that happened during Golos, Holech Lav Yer Yisrael, they'll go, even in Golos, to be calm Yisrael, that even in Golos, we can have periods of calm and peace. So again, it can mean, in other words, that here, to begin with, Moshe is saying that Tzad Midas Adin, it should only be they have peace only when they can't have peace when they're in Golos, and then Omos is saying, and rather Yumi is being Mevatalit and saying that even in Golos, Hashem should judge us with Midas Arachmim. And it can mean, in other words, that here And there's also the point, for example, Moshe is saying it in connection with that they're going to worship Avodah Zarah. So if they worship Avodah Zarah, they won't have any peace. So now, Yumi is saying that's what it means, in other words, but otherwise the Jewish people can have peace and can have rest in Golos. The third one, Moshe Omer Poiked Avon Oves Abonim. Moshe said that Hashem remembers the sins of the fathers for their children, and Hashem continued that if the punishment, Hashem didn't punish the ancestors, and then the children are still Oves in Maisei Avosein Yedein, and they still continue to follow in the same ways, and Hashem punishes them as well for what their ancestors did. But Yechezkel Bitla, Yechezkel came and was Mevatel, because he says in the Pasuk, Nefesh Achotas Yisamos, the soul that sins, it will die, not anybody else, in other words. By the way, at this point, we don't have a Rivan as the Pirush on the side over here. From here on until the end of the Masechta, we have Rabbeinu Gershom instead. So here, when Holoch Lagir Yisrael, the Jewish people will have rest in Golos, and here, and Nefesh HaChotas Yisamos, only the soul that sins. Moshe Omer V'avadtem B'Goyim, Moshe said you will be lost among the nations. Bo Yishayo V'Omer, but Yishayo came and said, no, the Jewish people will not be lost. V'hoye B'Yim Ohi, talk of a shofar God over Goyim. On that day, the great shofar will be blown, and Ha'ovdim Be'eretz Asher, V'anidochim Be'eretz Yerushalayim will all come back. So in other words, the Jewish people are not going to be lost forever in Golos, Chas V'Shalom. So now in this connection, the Gemara says, Omer Rav, Mistapina Mehai Krov Avadda Magoyim. Rav says, I'm frightened by this passage of Avadda Magoyim. It sounds like the Jewish people are going to be completely lost in Golos, Chas V'Shalom. Or at least maybe not the entire Jewish people, but at least there's going to be major segments of the Jewish people over the centuries of Golos who are going to be lost. Maskif for a papa, but a papa contradicts that and says, no, Dumaka Vedam is Bakeshis. Maybe the Pasuk Vavadam doesn't mean lost as in destroyed, but lost as in a lost object which a person is looking for. Dichtivas, you have the Pasuk in Tilim, Ta'isi Kiste'ovid. David says on behalf of Jewish people, I've strayed like a lost sheep, Bakesh Avdecha. Seek your servant. In other words, you also, Hashem, don't let us be lost in Golos. Seek for us and look for us like a person looks for a lost object. So in other words, he's saying, Rav, I understand you're concerned about the Pasuk, but you should realize the Pasuk is not implying necessarily that there's going to be a complete loss of people among the Jewish people. It means that there's going to be a future. Hashem is going to search for us and bring every year out of Golos. The Orach HaNeir points out Rav could have realized that himself, but nevertheless, Rav was thinking, particularly those who died during Golos, Va'avadim Magoyim, Rashi brings on the Pasuk, means the people who died during all the time in Golos, are they going to be included in the Ho'ovdim Be'eretz Asher? So no, it means that even they, Hashem is going to seek for them and bring them alive in Tchias HaMesim, and they're going to come back. So the Gemara says, Elami Sefer Dekra. So fine, even we could say maybe that Rav is not so concerned about the beginning of the Pasuk, because it's true, you can understand that Aveda doesn't necessarily mean something lost. But what about the end of the Pasuk? V'ochla eschem eretz oyveichem, the land of your enemies will consume you. That implies they're going to be consumed, they're going to be completely gone. So that Rav is scared about. But Maskif Lamar Zutra, Lamar Zutra, again, contradicts that and says that not necessarily is that so bad. It might be like the way that pumpkins and cucumbers are eaten. So what does that mean? Rabbi Gershom says it means that only some of them are eaten. Some of them are eaten and some of them not, representing, in other words, that yes, there might be not all the Jewish people are going to make it through, are going to make it through Golos, but a substantial number will. Marsha explains it means another point of it is when you eat pumpkins and cucumbers, you eat the flesh of the fruit. You still have the seeds are left. And that means, in other words, there's still going to be a seed. There's still going to be a future of the Jewish people from generation after generation in Golos. And in fact, Marsha also adds also, you know, the Gemara elsewhere uses the metaphor of planting for us Jewish people in Golos. You plant one seed and you get a whole crop out of it. The same way one seed of these Kishurim and Lurim is planted, and you have a tremendous crop of sparks of Kedusha and Geirim and so forth that comes from it. So therefore also, so as harsh as it is, to say, there is something good in it as well. The Aruch HaNer also adds the point that particularly with cucumbers and pumpkins, we often find that to begin with, there would be some that are perfectly edible, but instead of picking them, they would leave them to use them later on. They would go to seed, and that would be what they'd plant the next crop from. So the same way, there's going to be always a core of Jewish people who are going to last from generation to generation, and from them, the Jewish people will be regenerated in every generation. So it still doesn't change the fact that Rav is still frightened by these psukim, and it's true, you know, Golos is taken an enormous toll on us, the Gashmius, the Ruchnius. So yeah, that brings us to the next piece of Gemara over here. It already happened, in fact, talking about the interplay of Golos and Geula, that these four Chachamim were one time walking on the road. They could hear the sound of the crowds of Rome from Palta. Palta is Meloshin Plateha, Platiri, Rabbeinu Gershon has the Girsa, which means like the palaces of Rome. The different Girsa is Mipaltia or something like that, which is a place in Italy called Puteoli, which is about 150 miles from Rome. It was a major port over there. Anyway, they could hear the sounds and the noise and the tumult of Rome, the Berichuk Meiv Esra Mil, from 120 mil away from Rome. They all started crying. Rabbi Akiva was happy. Omruloi, the other Chachamim, said to Rabbi Akiva, "Ma'atam sachek? Why are you happy?" Omulahem, he says, "Va'atam itnei ma'atam boichim." Well, let me turn the question around to you. He always answers a question with another question. Why are you crying? Omruloi, they answered him, "Why are you crying?" Goyim alodosh meshtachlim la'atzabim. These goyim worship idols and makatrim la'avodas kechavim, and they're bringing k'turas. They're burning k'turas in honor of their getchkes. Yoshvin betach v'hashket, and here they're sitting so quietly and peacefully, and even from 120 mil away, we can hear the excitement and the noise and everything of their city. The onu, as far as us, Beis Hadoim Ragle Elakenu, the place of the footstool of Hashem, which is the Beis Mikdash, Soruf for Eish is burnt in fire. The Lo Yivka, how could we not cry? Omalahan, so Rabbi Akiva tells them, L'chach ani mitzachek. He says, on the contrary, that's exactly for that is why I'm happy. Because I realize if this is what Hashem is doing for those who violate His will, these Romans who are violating Hashem's will in every possible way, how much more so, how much good Hashem is going to do for those who do what Hashem wants, what Hashem wants for us Jewish people. So there is a sicha. There are at least two places where the Rebbe gave a hadron on Masechta Makkos. One of them is in Chutas Sichas in Chelik Yud Tes, and the other one was in Tokshin Chof Hei on Yud Shvat during the year of Avelos after Rebbe Tzinchana. And in both of those, the Rebbe addressed this story and the next story over here in the Gemara at some length. In both places, the Rebbe has many questions on this story and the previous story. So one point is, in other words, that the Chachamim in the Sicha, in the Chutas Sichas, the Rebbe explains, of course they understand this point as well, that Hashem is going to give a much greater reward to the Jewish people. And they realize, in other words, that, yeah, Hashem had to make that the Romans are powerful because the Jewish people had to be defeated. Valavon and Ba'adu Yippo, only a superpower would have the ability to do, where Hashem would give them the ability to destroy destroy the Beis HaMikdash, but they're bothered by now, after the Churban. Why does it still have to be? It's already Beis HaMikdash Sorof Ba'esh. The Beis HaMikdash is already burnt in fire. So they already accomplished what the Eidosh has put them in the world for. Now why do they still need to be rich and powerful and we can hear their tumult from over 100 miles away? So that's what bothers them. So Rabbi Akiva answers them that no, what you see actually is so you're concerned about the Chilul Hashem, that no, on the contrary, this Chilul Hashem itself is bringing about a much greater, it's true, right now it's a bad situation, and in a way you could say, and the Rebbe goes and develops in the Sicha the idea that these Chachamim, they take the view, not necessarily as a greater Hidur Mitzvah later on, outweigh a lesser problem right now. So therefore they're saying the fact that, yes, we understand there can be a much greater thing later on, but the fact is there's a Chilul Hashem right now, and isn't that something to cry about? And Rabbi Akiva is explaining to them that, no, you can look at it the long-term view. That this is the greater the Chilul Hashem now, the greater the Kiddush Hashem, and the greater the glory that will be future in the future, and therefore that's something. So they don't respond to him later on in the second story. They say Akiva Nechamtanu. Here they don't say that yet, because fine, okay, we hear your point, but we're not necessarily does that work according to our Shita. Rabbi Akiva's shita is to look at the long term, and the Rebbe points out over there, Rabbi Akiva himself is a Ben Gerim, so he has that ability to look like that, to look at that, to see that from the negativity of now is going to come a much greater thing later. And the other sicha from Chafei, and then it makes the point also that the expression kvar hoyu mahalchem baderech means they were going in this way of going and working with the world and trying to be and then being mevarer of the world as they're going along, but they're concerned. How is it? And we know, fine, we have to realize there is a hamoina shel roimi out there. We have to know there is a tumult and a noise from Rome, and there are yidden there as well, and we have to work with them. But now they're bothered by why is it that we see, in other words, that the fact is, we're asking, why does it have to be that way in the first place? Why do the Eibush have to put it that there's a golos and that there were Jews among the Hamoina Shel Roimi and so forth? Wouldn't have been so much better off if we hadn't been in that situation in the first place? And for that, they're crying. And Rabbi Akiva replies to them and says that. You know, yeah, yeah, that on the personal level as well. The neshama comes down from a great place in Shemayim and then comes down so lowly, and now you're seeing this on the national level. But again, he's saying you can also see that yes, you do have to have the greater the descent, the Yerida Tzara Chalila, like we had earlier in the Masechta, and therefore And the Rebbe points out in that Sicha as well. They're saying like now we're hearing Kol HaMoneh Shel Roimi. It's like it's almost drowning out the sparks of Kedusha that we're supposed to be getting, and therefore we're crying for that. So now he tells them, and the Mekatrim L'Avodah Zarah, which where they're bringing Ketores, which is such a tremendous Avoda, and here they're doing it to their Getchkes. And here you have the Beis HaMikdash, it's supposed to be Hadoim Raglav, supposed to be the place of the Gilu Shechina in this world, and now we don't have that, and it's preventing us from doing most mitzvahs, and so on and so forth. And Rabbi Akiva is explaining to them that with all of that, it's true, all of what you're saying is valid. Nevertheless, you should still realize that you see that Hashem does things not even al pi medidah v'agbala. Hashem does things completely beyond what we can understand, on levels completely beyond what we can understand, and therefore we can know that when it comes to us Jewish people, then Hashem is also doing Allah's Tama V'Kama, that we're going to have something so much greater beyond anything that we can possibly understand. So then this Gemara continues. Shuv pamachas hoy olim liYerushalayim. Another time, these same four chachamim were going up to Yerushalayim. Kibin shehigiyu laHarat Sofim, when they came to Harat Sofim, which is a place outside Yerushalayim where you can first see the site of the Beis Mikdash from there, koru b'gdeim, and they whipped their clothes as you have to do when you see the site of destroyed Yerushalayim and the Beis Mikdash. Adei Yemazev. Some people are sometimes makel in it for one reason or another, but you actually are supposed to keo kriya when you see them. Kivin shehigiyu laHarabayis, when they actually reached the Harabayis, rosh shul shiyotin beis kodesh hakadoshim. They saw a fox coming out of the site of the kodesh hakadoshim. Again, his chiduhein boichin Rabbi Akiva mitzachet. They started crying. Rabbi Akiva was happy. So again, they asked him, why you're happy? And there's obviously, I mean, he's still, he was tearing Kriya together with all of them. We're not saying he's unrestrictedly happy, but there's something he sees, a happy sign in it. So they say, what are you seeing in that? He says, as far as you, why are you crying? There's a place, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the Pasuk says any Zor that comes too close to there is going to die, is going to suffer Mitzvah Shemayim. The actual Shu'olim Hilchu Boy, now foxes are walking there in the place of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. How could we not cry? And he answers them, that's exactly having to do with that, is why I'm happy. Dichtiv. You have a pasuk that says Yeshaya says, "Va'idoli edim ne'amonim." I will make for myself, I will bring for myself, Yeshaya is saying in Hashem's name, faithful witnesses. Eitz Uriah Hakoyen versus Zechariah ben Yerech Yehu. The two edim are going to be Uriah Hakoyen and Zechariah ben Yerech Yehu. Now, v'chima inin Uriah etzel Zechariah. Now, what do they have to do with one another? Uriah v'mikdash rishon, or Zechariah v'mikdash sheni. Uriah was a Navi who lived towards the end of the first verse of Mikdash. So the Pesukim in Yirmiyah mentioned that he was a contemporary of Yirmiyah. Zechariah ben Yerech Yehu was a Navi at the beginning of the second verse of Mikdash. Ella, what it means is Tola Akosim Nivu Osir Shal Zechariah V'Nivu Osir Shal Uriah. It means that Hashem is making that Hashem is implying with that that the Nivu of Zechariah depends on the Navi of on the Nivu of Uriah. But Uriah Ksiv, now by Uriah, one of his Nivuas was Lachem the Glauchem Sian. Therefore, be glauchem because of you, Averis. Tzion Soda Sechorish. Remember, Tzion, the Beis Mikdash was plowed up like a field, which happened after the second Beis Mikdash. We know one of the five things that we commemorate on Tisha B'Av is that Turnus Rufus plowed up the site of Yerushalayim. Meanwhile, B'Zachariah Ksiv, in Zachariah's Nevuah, in his Sefer, it says, Ur Yesh was Canis, V'Chorvis Yerushalayim. That there will be in the future, old men and old women will sit in the streets of Yerushalayim. And the Gemara else where it mentions that also referred that also hints at Tchias Amesin. So Adshalin is Skyman of Osir Shal Uriah. So now, before Uriah's Nevuah was fulfilled, Ha'isim is Yadashalin is Skyman. By the way, Tosfos brings up the point, actually, we don't actually find in the Psukim that Uriah said this Nevuah. Those words, Vachem the Glaucham, Tzien Sadasei Choresh, is actually from a Nevuah of Micha. Micha that we talked about before. But in Sefer Yirmiyah, it describes how Yirmiyah was saying Nevuas of how the Beis Hamikdash was going to be destroyed, and the people were ready to kill him for it, claiming he's a false Navi. And then some people speak up and say, 100 years ago, Micha was saying the same kind of Nevuah, and then nobody killed him, nobody harmed him, and then the Pasuk goes on to say, Vagam Uriah, there was also Uriah was saying such a Nevuah. So the implication is that Uriah was saying a Nevuah in the same words, or approximately the same words, as Micha, and therefore the Gemara can attribute his Nevuah to Uriah. So Adshalit Niskaiman of Wasser Shal Uriah. So before Uriah's Nevuah was fully fulfilled, Haisim Nisyadah Shalit Niskaiman of Wasser Shal Zechariah. I was concerned that Zechariah's Nevuah might not be fully fulfilled. How could he do that? And Novi's Nevuah is always going to come true. We'll talk about it in a second. Achshav Shniskaiman of Wasser Shal Uriah. But now that Uriah's Nevuah has been fulfilled, be a dua, then we know for sure Shniv Wasser Shal Zechariah Niskayemis, that Zechariah's Nevuah will be fulfilled too. Because they're interdependent, the Pasuk is saying.
So did Rabbi Akiva answer this second question to why he was laughing?
That's what we're saying. He's saying, in other words, that's why. Now that we see that the fox is coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, showing that Uriah's Nevuah has been completely fulfilled, now we can be sure that Zechariah's Nevuah is going to be completely fulfilled as well.
That was it. Old people will be sitting in the street.
Will be sitting, meaning that there'll be Tchias Amesim. Tosfos refers to the Gemara in Pesachim that says that we're talking about. That's referring to Tchias Amesim.
And this this Gemara is a repeat also. We learned this somewhere else also after the Churban, that Gemara has all about the Churban. Has this whole piece of Gemara with the fox?
No, not this particular piece. No, this is only here in Makkah's. Tosfos, anyway, by the way, points out, one point is, in other words, that, like this, the fact that Nevuah refers to Tchias Amesim, like this, if it hadn't been for that, you could have thought maybe Zechariah's Nevuah was already in the sky. And there were, during the second Beis Mikdash, at various times, there were probably old men and women sitting in the streets of Yerushalayim. That still wouldn't mean the Gula Amidah Shlema, but since, as the Gemara explains in Pesachim, it's referring to Tchias Amesim, that means that Nevuah has not yet been fulfilled, and therefore we can be sure that it's going to be completely fulfilled just as Uriah's was. Beloshen Azeh Amruloi, the Chacham replied to him with these exact words, Akiva Nichamtonu, Akiva Nichamtonu. Akiva, you've comforted us. Akiva, you've comforted us. On the side of it, it brings a girsa from Ein Yaakov, Hashem Yinachameinu Amen, may Hashem comfort us, Amen. Why the double expression? So one point is that there were two stories over here. They hadn't responded to the first one. So now they're responding to both of them and saying, you've comforted us with both of them. And we even find, Marshall mentions, every time we have a Lashon of Nechama, it's always double. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. Marshall also explains at some length over here that what's going on over here, the expression over here, that he says, Tzi and Soda say Chodesh, that Yerushalayim is going to be plowed up. Now, what do you plow up a place for? Is in order to grow Paris over there. So here, like this, in other words, without that Nevuah, it might have meant that Yerushalayim is going to be desolate, and you even have the expression in the Pasuk in Parshas Nitzavim, Gofrus for Malach, it's going to be sulfur and salt. Nothing is going to grow over there. So now when you have that it's plowed and you have foxes come out of there, which Marshall refers to other Gemaras that imply that foxes like to hang around in plowed up areas. So that itself shows, says Rabbi Akiva, that it means that Eretz Yisrael still has its fertility, that even though right now nobody is having any nachas ruach in it, all of this demonstrates that Yerushalayim will be resettled and everything, and then there will be the Geulah Mitzvah Shlema, and everything will come completely true, and you'll see the Mila of Eretz Yisrael much more than the Mila of the Beis Mikdash, much more than you do now. In those sichas, the Rebbe gives more angles on it as well, and then one in Chelek Yud Tes, the Rebbe does talk about the idea of what Marsha is saying over here about the plowing, referring to that there's going to be something greater in the future. Again, Rabbi Akiva's whole thing is called the Ovid Rachman al-Tav Ovid, that he always looks at the future and at the good. And the idea is, in other words, the Rebbe develops the idea, and actually this connects with the beginning of the Masechta. Here at the beginning of the Masechta, we talk about Edim Zomimin, and they have to both be saying the same Edos and both contradicted as one. So here we have Uriah and Zechariah, our two Edim, where we're saying it's completely interdependent, and therefore, in other words, that when you see this shul yotzim of based kodesh akadoshim, when they see the ultimate fulfillment, that we see that, in other words, not just that Uriah's nevuah was fulfilled, but it's fulfilled to the nth degree, to the ultimate degree, even to the point of foxes coming out over there. So it's not just he's saying, in other words, until now I didn't think Zechariah's nevuah is going to come true. A nevuah is always going to come true, but it means, in other words, it's going to come true in the most perfect possible way. That he's saying that's the chiddush that now that we see that Uriah's nevuah has been fulfilled so perfectly. And now on this, then, they say, Akiva Nechamtonu, Akiva Nechamtonu, because now he's showing them not just that you have in the future that it's going to be better than it is now, but you see the Mila exists even now that Uriah's nevuah is coming true, then you see that's also within that itself, that contains the fulfillment of Zechariah's nevuah, and for that, as opposed to before with the Goyim versus the Jewish people, there you have, he's saying in the future it's going to be better that way, fine in the future, but right now it's not like that. But now that he's showing them a chiddush, that explains in that sicha, that now you can see even now in the way it is now, with the Shul Yotze, you can still see within that itself the fulfillment of the beginning of the fulfillment of Zechariah's Nevuah, then that's something to be happy about, and for that they accept his comfort, and they say the double expression, Akiva Nechamtonu, Akiva Nechamtonu.
How do we see the beginning of the Nechama?
Because we see, in other words, the fact that we see that Uriah's Nevuah has been fulfilled so completely. Not just that you have, in other words, that not only the Beis Mikdash has been destroyed, but you have Techorish, it's been plowed up. And like Marshall says, the plowing implies there's going to be a growing from it. And you have the Shul coming out of there, and you have everything has been fulfilled to the ultimate degree. That shows, in other words, that now you can see from that, that Zechariah's Nevuah, which is interdependent with that, is also going to come true, is also not only going to come true in the future in the greatest possible degree, but that even now you can see that the two things are interdependent and one necessarily requires the other one. So for that they accepted as Nechama. In the other Sikha in Chof Hei, the Rebbe talks about that when Shuv Pamachas are Oilon Yerushalayim, now it's not just Mahalchen Baderech, they're going on the regular road to refine out sparks of Kedusha in the world, now they're already on the level of Oilon Yerushalayim, they're already on a higher level of Avodah. And they've already finished, in other words, the Rebbe explains, on their level, they've already finished dealing with the whole cause of the Golos. Everybody else now needs to get to that level, but so they themselves are already Oilon Yerushalayim, and now they see this, and they see that uh, they they see that they see that still we can still see openly the golos over here and how the Kodesh HaKadoshim is desolate and foxes are coming out of it. And the fox that ever develops the idea over there represents the chacham, he's the pekeach shebachayas, the wisest among the chayas. So therefore, it represents a tremendous descent in the world that he's coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So therefore they're crying about that, and meanwhile Rabbi Akiva, we find also that Rebbe points out in connection with Rabbi Akiva himself, you have a moshul with the fox that tries to convince the fish to come out of the water. So now they're saying, in other words, this fox represents the opposite of Torah, and how could that be that he's coming out of base Kodesh HaKadoshim? So that's what makes them cry, and Rabbi Akiva tells them. And Akiva tells them, basically, don't just sit here and cry. Go work on a yid who's outside and bring him into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Bring him into the place of Kedusha. But they're telling him that Vazorah Korev Yumas, right now the place is not what it's supposed to be. Instead of being Vazorah Korev Yumas, instead we have that the foxes are there and it's being misused for Kodesh HaTumah. And Rabbi Akiva is telling them that no, as long as he tells them like this, as long as it hasn't touched the pintle of yid, then a yid can have a ruach shtus and think of himself that I can still do this Aveda or that Aveda, and it won't impair my connection with the Eivishter. What do you see when the chips are down, when it touches the Nekudas Hayadus, then a Yid realizes, as it talks about in Tanya, that no, there's no choice. So the same way over here. Till now, Rabbi Akiva is saying, till now, people could delude themselves into thinking that there were various naturalistic causes for the Golos, but now that we see something like this, where even the Romans have nothing to do with the foxes coming there, that's the fox is coming there, clearly because Hashem is putting them over there. So that helps the Yid realize, the Chachanim Sachet, that shows that you really have now the ability, even more than we did before, to take a yid who was even in the lowest place, like we talk about on Amud Aleph, Avad de Magoyim, and bring him back and bring him to the level of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then he explains to them again that there's this idea of the interdependence of the two nevuahs, that you see the greater Yerida means a greater Aliyah, and so on, Techorish, that it's going to be plowed up and there's something going to grow there and so forth, and therefore, so they tell him, Akiva Nichamtonu, Akiva Nichamtonu, Hashem, Rabbi Akiva, you've comforted us, you've shown us a new dimension of Golos that we realize we now have what to do, not just to sit here and cry, but to go and actually do something mice of a poil to end the Golos and to bring every Jew back. Should be taka that we're done with all the makas of all the various kinds and the golos and all the various things that we talked about in our masechta and taka have the gula amidus rashleima right now.
Amen.
Amen.